to check out a great book about the computer repair business, check out Daniel Hand's book at podnuts.com/Dan's book. That's podnuts.com/Dan's book, no apostrophe. Welcome to Podnuts Daily, episode number 325, the show for computer repair technicians by computer repair technicians. What we do is we have a computer repair tech who owns a business or a shop or is really doing well in the field, enthusiastic in the field, has some knowledge in the field, we could put it that way, to impart their knowledge with you guys and help you become better PC techs. That's what we do. Joining us today is no stranger to the show. Happy to have Kevin on again. Kevin Adair from toptotoppros.com. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Steve. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Thanks for joining us again.
Oh, not a problem.
What's been going on? How you been?
Okay. Everything's going okay. Trying to do a little bit of restructuring. I'll get into a little bit of that later.
Okay.
Yeah, everything's been okay.
Very good. Very good. Well, thanks for coming on the show, man. Totally appreciate it. It's good to hear you. I haven't talked to you in a while.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And I thought your response was going to be, "Oh, you should come into the Podnuts team speak."
Well, after our last conversation, there, I'm just not sure you're going to come back at all.
I can't even remember what happened.
We'll talk post show.
All right. Well, what would you like to talk for anybody who didn't catch you earlier? Tell us what your business is. And then get into whatever you would like to talk about for today.
Well, I'm owner and operator of AkronComputerGuide.com. It's a website, a work in progress. I was toptotoppros.com. I was getting business from it, but mainly I was getting business off of a west side of Akron newspaper. And off of Craigslist. So I wasn't getting anything from a lot of Google searches, maybe one or here or there, but nothing was really happening as far as Google was concerned. So after talking with some people who are in the know about this, I decided to go with a WordPress theme website and go with AkronComputerGuide.com.
Looks good.
Thank you. I got to give credit to Britech in the TeamSpeak room. And he's been helping me out with that because I'm a complete ignorant when it comes to WordPress. I tried to figure it out, and he says, "Oh, let me give it a chance here."
Right.
So he's been doing a lot of work, giving me a lot of ideas to work with, and it's coming along. It's coming along very well.
Yeah, it looks very good. Looks very good.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, you know, when I released this silly cat. Okay, get off this. You know, when I released the text site builder early on, I used. It's very image based. It's not as text based. We talked a little bit about this about the show, before the show, and between that and AdWords, I had a good 1-2 punch going on with my company, and that's what I use for my business. Now, a lot of guys who are really interested in SEO and getting picked up with Google, Text Site Builder might not be the best thing. So there is a revision of the Text Site Builder coming down the pipe. So if you guys did buy it, you know there's going to be an upgrade for it coming along. I do recognize the fact that this needs to be done, and this is what is needed and wanted. So it's definitely acknowledged. We're probably going to go with a WordPress theme similar to what you did, but you did a really good job here. And did you just pick a theme and start filling in the blanks, or did somebody have this or what?
Brian had a theme, and he started filling in the blanks, so to speak. And we consulted with each other back and forth for the last week or so, getting together and trying to work with my local economy as far as the prices are concerned.
Right.
So, but that's the prices down there. If you scroll back up, they're a little bit lower than a lot of techs would like to see it. And I know Chris Berry is probably screaming his head off right about now. But I have to consider my local economy. If I don't, I will get no phone calls.
Right. And that's the way it is in Akron?
Yes, it's still very difficult after all this time.
Gotcha. Hey, you got to do what you every place is different, you know, and that's another thing we talked about before the show. You know, even AdWords could work better in one place than another place. And then you have to set your prices accordingly, of course. So
yes.
It makes sense. It makes sense. Yep. Well, it looks great. Best of luck with you on the
Thank
site.
You.
And I'm sorry I introduced the wrong site name at the beginning of the show, but it was a good transition to your new. It was like the grand opening for you. Of
That's
the new
fine.
Show. Yeah, okay.
Well, the grand opening is tomorrow on September 1st, but.
Okay.
Okay. You ready for some stories then?
Yes, bring it on.
Okay. First of all, I want to encourage anyone who listens to PodNuts to use all the resources available to them from Steve and the crew who put together the website and the forums. Especially, I want them to use TeamSpeak. If they have a problem and they're not getting an answer from the forums, come on in. Talk to us. We will help you out. I've gotten a lot of help myself from the fellows in there, and it's not just the U.S. There's a couple from the U.K. that help out a lot, and they are there to help you. So take advantage of it.
Sure.
I have a special plea from someone who has disappeared from the community. And I'm only bringing this up, Steve, not just because of my benefit, but everybody in the room has been wondering what's happened to this guy, Michael. He's a security guard from San Francisco. And Michael has had a lot of good input in the room. And he's got the pipes, man. He should be on the radio somewhere. And but his input was much, much more valuable. So, Michael, come back, man. Something ticked you off. Let's get it straightened out. Okay?
All righty.
And Steve D, he's been popping in and out, and I know he's got some issues to deal with, but it's always great to see him in there as well, too.
Okay. That will be pressed on to him.
Okay. All righty. I have a warning to anyone who wants to go with an SEO. I'm trying not to get angry about this, but we'll have to. Deal with it the best we can. Despite all the warnings and issues with an SEO company that you have pushed forth, and I think even Kerry Holtzman at one time decided that they were a bad idea, I decided to give one a try. The reason why I gave it a try is because this outfit dealt with only three contractors in a specific field. I says, okay, well, that sounded good. Let's give it a shot and see how it goes. It's the same outfit that Leaf Glass from NEPC Service started with. Anyways, I'm not getting any phone calls. And when I get them, it was usually so it sounded like orchestrated. Because prior to that phone call or an email asking me about prices for computer repair, I would complain to outright via email or a phone call saying, hey, nothing's happened here. I know you said it would take some time for stuff to register, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, it was like once a month instead of the return of investment wasn't there, basically. So
what did they promise you?
Okay, they promised me after the first 30 days phone calls and then after the second 30 days, a lot more work. That never happened. And I called just prior to the 60 days, and they said, well, you did agree to work with us 60 days. Can you give it a couple more days before you cancel? I said, okay, begrudgingly. But
What did they do? Tweak your website? Or
They tweaked my website, and they did something with hops that I found out about. The guys in TeamSpeak did a trace on my website, and they found out it was going off to some sites in Russia, China, wherever they could to get me higher for I can't explain how that works, but to get me higher on my Google page ranking. Now that happened. In fact, you can look up Akron Computer Repair, and you will see top to top pros at the top of the list. Okay, I was happy with that. But when it came time to talk to me about my evaluation, about how my website was doing, there were some conversations in there that sounded like they were still trying to sell me.
Gotcha.
I was getting the feeling I was being led on. Okay. So after the 60-day tryout, they were practically taking my money away for practically no service, okay?
How much was it costing you? Was it a monthly deal or what?
It was a monthly deal, and it was $145 a month.
Okay.
Okay. So I called him to cancel my account. Now, I expected some trouble with this. You know, anybody's going to try and keep a client on. But it took me 12 times to tell them that I wanted to cancel my account, and they came up with BS story after BS story after BS story to try and keep me on. They even played me a so-called recording that supposedly my wife received a phone call from a lady asking about a power jack problem. And right after the lady asked for the power jack problem, the lady lost my wife's voice, and you can hear my wife going, "Hello, hello, hello," and she's telling me she's looking at the screen on her cell phone to see if she's still connected, and she was. Finally, the lady hung up.
So you think it was them playing a recording?
No, hold on. There's more. And what happened was Tony called back right away because it showed up on our caller ID. And she says, "I never called his number for computer repair." And my wife knew exactly that she had the same exact number,
right,
and that she was talking to the same exact lady.
Uh-huh.
So it was orchestrated, everything. Now, I got like maybe one good call that was profit, but that was it. It wasn't enough to cover the monthly cost of the service.
What's the company? Who is it?
Outrank.
Outrank?
Yes.
Gotcha.
Okay. So finally they gave way, and I was told no more charges would be made to my credit card. Well, in a couple of days, we'll see, and I might have to take some action after that if they do charge me again.
Is it there's a couple Outranks. Is it OutrankSEO.com, Outrank, OutrankCom SEO? Do you know the URL? Or?
Yeah, hold on. Let me see if my history pulls it up here.
Okay. Yeah, that's kind of shady. It really, really is. It is. I mean, I'm sure there's guys that can help with SEO, but if you're going to promise something, you have to deliver it, you know? So.
Yeah. Is Outrank.com a Yodel company?
Outrank.com?
Yes.
Well, they got a good URL. Okay, cool. I just was curious.
Yep. Yep. So, you know, I lost a lot of money with that, and that's a mistake I'll never make again.
Thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah.
We need to know this kind of thing.
And Leaf Glass, he's we actually talk to each other about every other night or so during the week, just, you know, comparing notes about our companies and stuff, and he's been a real encouragement as well. And I warned him about this after I found out what was going on with me after I saw his podcast a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
So... Okay, I have a couple extra jobs here I threw in after I sent you the notes. I had a Toshiba satellite power jack problem. It was one of the A305s, the older ones. Now, as you know, the Toshiba satellite power jacks have a tail on them that connect to the motherboard. And I thought this was going to be an easy repair, but she told me she took it to, when she was out in California, she took it to a shop out there. Steve, I don't know what happened, but they destroyed the area where the jack sits in.
What did they do? Meld it?
It looked like they melted it, or carved away at it. Maybe they made a mistake with some hot glue or something like that, and they decided to fix it over. It was just destroyed. And so,
is it one of those jacks, Kevin, that sits separate from the motherboard and is just connected by wires?
Yes, okay. Like with a tail on it, you know, with a plug that goes into the bottom of the motherboard, yes.
Okay.
So I'm throwing around some ideas in my head, and I go, and I'm talking to Timster one day. He says, "Kevin, this is a Radio Shack problem." I go, "Okay, refresh my memory. I saw your videos, and I'm trying to remember what he said about my Radio Shack problem." So he told me to go get a regular DC jack from Radio Shack that would fit the plug, and that's how I fixed that one.
All right. Good.
So, yeah. It worked beautiful. She's happy with it. Never a call back on it.
Now, for those of you who don't know, the Radio Shack jack is basically one that you could... What happens in these laptops is they have like a jack inside the case of the laptop, and if something... If the plastic thing that's holding the jack in there breaks at some point, the jack's going to be floating around all inside the laptop. So I used to use a Radio Shack, like a jack that actually fits the tip of that adapter it basically screws on with a nut to the outside of the case. So that thing doesn't, the only way that that's breaking is if you break the case, actual case. And I used to love doing those repairs. Of course, there's criticism, Steve. They're ugly. It's unwieldy. It's dumb. All right. Hey, man, it worked for me, and I never had one complaint. So that's what I put in my videos, and I actually like it because it's sturdy, and you could tell it's sturdy from looking at it. And it worked for Kevin, too. So I think it's a good way. It's just it's heavy. It makes it heavy duty. That's what I think.
That's what she says. She goes, wow, this looks like it will never get destroyed.
There you go. Exactly.
Okay. There's another Toshiba satellite. I got it sitting here on my desk waiting to return to customer, but it had a Wi-Fi problem in it. And 90% of my Wi-Fi problems are, of course, software related. You go in a registry, do a little hack, or you take care of McAfee or Norton on there, and it usually comes back to life. Well, I even did a reinstall on this one because it just was not coming back to life. And Toshiba has a config-free software that usually causes issues. I took that out, uninstalled it, and just went with the Intel Wi-Fi card driver. That seemed to work. I wake up the next morning to do some checks before I go off to work. No connection. And so, okay, I'll have to do a reinstall or something like that.
Right.
Went back and to work on it after that day of work, and I did a second reinstall, and what happened was this time I took a regular Vista OEM. I kept Toshiba completely out of the picture because sometimes their proprietary software can cause issues other than it being a Wi-Fi problem or whatever would be the case.
Right.
So that didn't work. So I'm scratching my head, and I'm talking to guys on TeamSpeak again. You can see how often I use TeamSpeak. It's a very good resource.
Sure.
But Tim suggested that I take out the Wi-Fi card, clean off the contacts, and reseat it.
Right.
That was the problem.
There you go.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, the contacts were about, can you see my fingers? About that far away from being completely in. So when I return it to him tomorrow, I'll ask him if it was dropped or something, because after that was reseated, it came back to life, and my wife was listening to iHeartRadio on it all day today, and it without a disconnection, so it seems to be okay.
Very good. Yeah, that's sometimes it's you know, it sucks. You do the whole reinstall and then you finally realize this, but I mean, at least you found it, you know.
Well, yeah, like I said, so by my experience, most of the Wi-Fi issues are 90% software issues.
Yep.
So I never thought to look at the hardware, and I'm glad I did, because I called him tonight. He says, "Oh, great." So
good.
Okay, and I had an Acer laptop in here not too long ago. The first visit was back in March or April, and it was she yanked out the power cord of the Acer, and what happened was it did something to the jack which caused a disconnection. So I put the solder, I ordered a new jack, that's what it was, I ordered a new jack, and I put that in, and again, it's like the Toshiba's, it's got the jack with a tail going to the motherboard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the damage from when I forgot to mention when she yanked it out, it also dropped on the floor, and there was damage on the left-hand corner of the laptop keyboard area. And so I hot glued that in, let it sit for 24 hours. It seemed to be okay. Gave it back to her. It came back at the end of July, and she says, I know the 30-day warranty is over, but we've got to pay you. Can you fix this again? So
did you do to fix it the first time?
The hot glue.
Okay.
I just hot glued the whole area around it where it's supposed to sit. Because see, what happened was when the fall of the laptop under the floor caused that area to widen out just enough to not hold the jack securely by on its own like they do from the factory.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Okay. Okay, so I got some epoxy bond stuff that you buy at Ace Hardware or any place like or any hardware store, and I tried that and waited 24 hours. The jack came right back off.
Yeah.
So I'm talking to Terry in the TeamSpeak, and he says use JB Weld, water weld. And I'm going, what? JB Weld is usually used for car repair, tractor repair, any type of hardware outside the home, or anything that would need to be fixed inside the home, a broken hinge or something like that.
Right.
So I got myself a tube of that, and I literally placed this all over the jack area, and I pushed it down like I was working on a car, auto bodying a car. And I had a remark from Britech. He goes, I was showing him on the web camera when I was doing it. He goes, man, it looks like a pile of turd. And it smelled bad. I'd had to warn lady. This will smell for a couple of days. Really? She says, as long as it works, she didn't care. She was happy with the work that I did. And I says, I don't know how I'm going to get this back out if it needs to be come back to me for a power jack. But
so it's you're saying it's stuck. It did good?
It did good.
Did you test it by like yanking on it?
I did that, and I did the ohm meter test, make sure the continuity was fine and all that stuff.
No, I mean, but did you actually put some pressure on it and it felt pretty solid?
Oh, yeah. After 24 hours, that thing was hard. It was close to hard as a rock. You can still tell there was just a little bit of moisture left as it was still drying. But I says, call me if there's any problem with it. So she hasn't called. So,
you know, I never tried JB, so that might be pretty good stuff. I'm never a fan of glue. I do not hot glue those into place. I don't use glue. I don't use epoxy. In the videos, I even do this. I take a screw. Or for one of them, it worked out. I take a screw and I create a post. I actually drill a hole and put the screw under the laptop facing up, and I make a post that sits behind the jack so that thing doesn't move anywhere. Now, I mean, you'd have to make sure that you're not drilling into anything, obviously, or there's room for it. But I say wherever you can avoid using glue or any type of thing that's supposed to just stick something there, use something like that. So I basically screw a screw under there. I put a little nut on the bottom of it, and it's just created this post that, again, there's no way that thing's breaking off unless you break the case. I'd have to see how it looks on the Acer. But that's, you know, that's really good to know about the JB. I guess I'm going to go with some type of putty or glue or something. That should be the stuff to go with.
Yes. Yes. It's better than Miracle Glue, actually.
Wow.
Yep.
Good.
Okay. Here's a next one here. Came across a headache recently. There might be some newer techs out there who are listening who are not aware of this, and most of you may be aware of it. I had a Pentium 4 XP machine in here, pre-service pack 1 with Windows XP.
Ouch.
Yeah. I only had with me at the time a service pack 3 disk, and after the reinstall, the product key was not recognized. It said, we cannot activate at this time.
You mean installing Service Pack 3, or you did a reinstall on the machine?
The reinstalled disk I used was Service Pack 3.
Oh, the reinstalled disk. I got you.
The machine was pre-Service Pack 1.
Right, I got you. Okay.
Okay. So I found out from FUBAR Johnny that the problem was it was a Service Pack 3 install disk, not a pre-Service Pack 1 disk.
Right.
So I got a hold of a pre-Service Pack 1, installed it, and the product key took hold.
Right.
Now I think it was Leaf who described a similar situation. He said he installed Internet Explorer 8 and it took hold for some strange reason. Well, that didn't happen here, but it did take hold and the product key was working. Now, why I'm bringing this up is two things. One, Windows Vista does not require such a procedure that I know of. If somebody does, please email Steve and let us know. However, Windows 7 does.
You need that procedure, meaning you have to install the pre-service pack to get the code to work?
Exactly. So if you have a Windows 7 pre-service pack 1 disk, hang on to it. Because once these other server packs that eventually will come along, it'll come in handy and you'll be able to save yourself a lot of time.
Good advice. What I did was... I would save disk images or I would save the disks, but I would also, if I couldn't save the disk for whatever reason, I would have a folder of disk images on my like backup drive and just pre-service pack, like media center, old media center. Like it's definitely a good idea to just save different versions and OEMs, retails of all the different disks. That's good to know, Kevin, though. I wasn't sure of that.
Well, I wasn't sure about the Windows 7 until I asked somebody in a TeamSpeak, and they said that they ran into the same problem with the Windows 7 OEMs.
Gotcha. Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. I got a call a while ago saying, Kevin, I can't get Outlook Express to work on my Windows 7. He was an older gentleman, but he knew a little bit about computers. At least he understood what I was talking about. And I says, well, Outlook Express outside of a Windows Office program environment will not work on Windows 7. He goes, oh, okay, so what do you suggest? So I said, there's a program that I can call, that I can come out with and install on your computer. He says, okay. So I went out there and I installed Thunderbird. It worked like a dream. And to him, it looked exactly like Outlook Express, well, similar to Outlook Express.
Yeah.
But for some reason, my next visit over, he wanted me to work on another computer. He said that he did not like Thunderbird. He just did not like the way it worked. I don't know what it is, Steve. I may have been an older person that likes special quirks about certain things. Mm-hmm. And so I says, can I ask why you don't like Thunderbird? And he really didn't have a solid answer. He just says, I just don't like it. I go, well, what will you use? Because you can't use Outlook Express unless you have Windows Office in there. And he says, Microsoft Office in there. And he says, well, I do have a Yahoo account. Just export and import everything over to that. So that's what I did for him, and he's okay with that.
What about Windows Mail?
He did not want Windows Mail.
Gotcha.
He specifically said no. he says I had Hotmail and I know it's similar to Hotmail and I don't want nothing to do with it.
Really? It's just like Outlook Express but like different font basically. Well, I mean it used to be, and then they came out with the Windows Live Essential package, and then I don't think I liked the mail from that. But after Outlook Express, Vista came out, and there was a pretty good mail on Vista. I enjoyed it. And then they came out with the Microsoft Essentials, and I didn't like the mail on that. So I think that's what they're up to now. So, yeah, he probably wouldn't like it either. But I don't know. I haven't used it in a while.
Maybe it was organization of things. I mean, yeah. He had a lot of contacts in different folders, and someone could help out with this. When I went to go install his specific contact folders into Yahoo Mail only takes it in bulk. You know, they don't allow a separate folder. So if somebody has a hint out there that I can deal with next time this happens, I would appreciate it. Because I looked all over. I asked the guys. They didn't know anything about it.
Yeah.
And it was real difficult to convince him that this was the only way that I could do it. And he begrudgingly accepted it, and he's okay. So
okay, good.
Yeah. Okay, are you ready for a few of my wacky customer stories here?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So this lady calls.
No,
up.
Before you do that, this is a good little lead up. We're about the halfway point of the show. We do have a sponsor for the show. I want to talk about now. Is that cool, Kevin?
That's fine.
Screen Connect, guys. I don't know if you guys have ever used Screen Connect. They are a sponsor of Podnuts, and I'm going to pull up the website now. I want you guys to know that I fully test out these products myself before I endorse them. And what Screen Connect basically is, it's basically your log me in alternative. It's a remote support software, but it has, for guys that are using TeamViewer, log me in, it has some different things, which I think is actually cool. Number one is, you host the sessions on your computer. In other words, you don't have to log into logmein.com and click the My Computer icon and do it that way. You host everything from your computer. Your machine is the host. So when somebody remotes in, they're actually remoting in to you directly. It's kind of a cool way of doing it, but it basically puts you really in control and gives you a lot of customization over the session. That's one cool thing. Another cool thing is it's a one-time fee. I mean, you buy the software and it's yours, so you don't have to pay a monthly charge on it. And it's cross-platform. It works on Windows, Mac, Linux, Android, iPhone. It's really cool. You know what it's like to me? You know, because it actually took me a while to wrap my wits around getting it configured properly. It's like the Android to your iPhone. Android is hackable. You know, you could get in there, you could make changes, you could customize it exactly how you want. iPhone is like, here you go. This works. We all know it works, but you're limited in what you can do. I picture Android when I think of this software. It's the hackable software. It's the one where you can customize whatever you want. Oh, another cool thing is it's completely brandable. You can put your company's name in there, and that will be what the software looks like it is to your customer. It's your branded name. So that's another cool thing. It has one-click connections. So as long as you install an add-on in your customer's browser, which you probably will do if you want to use this and you have, and you're working on their machine, if you, as long as you add like the one-click add-on to their browser, you can just say, go to this website, they click on that website, and then bam, they click one thing and you're in. You can remotely work on their machine. So I actually enjoyed it. Like I said, it took me a little bit to install it because it's highly customizable. So it wasn't like, oh, log in to log me in, boom, you're in. You have to know how to do, if you really want this to work well, you have to know how to do port forwarding on your router or just call them at Screen Connect, because my router is crazy. It's a Fios router and it just sucks as far as the interface for the router. So I called them up and I said, I cannot get port forwarding to work. And Reed helped me out. Which was, it was actually good this happened because I got to see their customer service for Screen Connect. Reed helped me out. He's a great guy, great customer service, hooked me up, and I was in. So I was actually happy that happened because I got to see how good their customer service was. Let me read you a couple lines of what they sent me. I mean, that was just my testimony. Let me a couple lines of what they sent me. And I highly recommend you check it out. It's a free trial. It's at screenconnect.com. It's a one-time purchase. Customers receive 12 months of software updates and support with their purchase. They can optionally choose to take their last available build and license and use it forever or upgrade their license for another 12 months of updates and support for 20% of licensing cost. The web application and parts of the clients can be branded to their company. Screen Connect is a self-hosted web application. If you install it on your computer and your server of choice, you make the web application publicly available via port forwarding, and then you can direct your technicians and guests to the web application, and that's where they join your session. They have email phone support. They're located in Raleigh, North Carolina. They have active development. They're 4 to 6 builds a year. This is what I felt, and this is what they said. We believe our customers think of us as a group of friendly, helpful people that go above and beyond to help them with questions or problems that may arise. Check out Screen Connect, guys. If you're using LogMeIn, using TeamViewer, or any of the other ones, and you want something that you can keep as your own, brand for your own, you want more control, more power over the whole session and everything that's going on, and you like to get in there and customize it, this thing has all the features you want to be able to customize. It even has, you can log in off of a reboot into safe mode, too. So it's got all the good stuff that all the other ones have, plus those extra cool things that none of the other ones have. Check it out, screenconnect.com. Thank you guys for sponsoring the show. Okay, Kevin, back to you. Unless you have any experience with them you want to talk about?
No.
Okay, go for it.
All righty. So Lois is this lady that calls up and says she needs a Windows XP reinstalled on her netbook because Staples said it was full of viruses. Well, I made it clear to her that just because one store said that was the problem didn't mean I would have the same diagnostic. I had 19 years experience, I told her, and I know what I was looking for in these machines. I said it more tactfully than I am now. I was real professional about it. So she says, all right, just take it home, and when will it be back? And I gave her the time, as long as there was no hardware issues. I said, there should be, this was Wednesday night. I said, because I have a day job, it'll be Friday. She said, fine. So what's going on, when I took it home, the problem was that the screen would automatically highlight anything with a white background with a blue highlight marker. Okay. Yeah, you know, like if you would to automatically highlight something, it's blue or whatever color you choose for it to do so. Mm-hmm. That would interfere with your email reading.
Of course.
So after I ran the diagnostic, I called her and told her that the issue was not software, but it was quite possibly a hardware issue.
Right.
I said the hardware issue being the motherboard was going bad on her 6-year-old horrible product machine, HP. I stole that from Ray from Umpire Computers, by the way.
Horrible product.
And she says in a nasty tone, "Well, aren't you going to reinstall Windows?" I said, "I can, but that's not going to fix the problem." She says, "Well, just do it anyways," was her reply. So I did according to what she wanted. And after the reinstall, of course, the problem was still there.
Right.
Well, Staples said that was the problem. That was the problem. That's all it needed was a reinstall. I told her, I said, the motherboard was going to have to be replaced, as I said before I did the reinstall. Well, how much is that going to cost? I gave her the price of the motherboard, which was off eBay, brand new, something like about, I don't know, $180, $170. Well, I don't have that. Just bring my computer back. So I wrote out the work order, packed up her machine, and brought it back to her. She turns on the computer and says, "It's still doing the same thing. You didn't fix this."
How old is this person?
I'm not good with ages.
Elderly? Is she elderly?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I reminded her that she asked me to reinstall Windows, even though it wasn't going to fix the problem.
Right.
She didn't reply to that. So I handed her the invoice, and she said, "I'm not going to pay you. You didn't fix the problem." Now, at this point, if it was my shop, I would have kindly grabbed it off the top of the counter, put it underneath the counter, and said, "You will have your machine back when you pay for it." But this was in her home. She's already had it in her hand.
Right.
And I'm getting a headache. And so I'm saying, "Okay, ma'am, have a nice day." And just calmly picked up my paperwork, turned around, and walked down at her. After, of course, she was yelling, "Get out of my house!" Now, why did I leave? I could just hear a lot of emails already being sent on this.
No, I think you did the right thing.
Yeah, I've dealt with a lot of people since my business started, and I knew that this switch was going to be a problem in getting the money owed to me. I made a decision that it was going to be worth my time to pursue it, even if she thinks she's in the right. Okay? So, my dad was a self-employed carpenter. He dealt with crazy people in his lifetime. We learned to go by the name of Lena. Lena, to me and my brother, when working with my dad, was a person, quote unquote, was not a real person. When my dad mentioned that name and the customer was around, my brother and I knew to drop the conversation or to leave a matter alone. Hence, you have leave with the L, well with the E, enough with the E, and alone. Leave well enough alone. That's what Lena meant. So I just said to my wife, she knew about it. I said, "Lena is calling. Let's go."
Yes, I think you're right. I think you're right. I would have done the same thing, Kevin. In fact, I probably would have did it in the shop. I would have handed her computer back. Said, I don't know what I would have done. I probably would have handed it back and said, "Have a nice day," and left it alone. Because I think the top priority is to keep good relations with your customers. And just if you have crazies on your lines, just forget about them. They're crazy.
Right.
You don't want them. You don't want them around. They're going to affect. See, if you keep crazies around, my philosophy is they're going to walk in your shop when you have three or four real good customers there and just act crazy and be crazy and create a disturbance. So if you're crazy, stay off my lines. That's the way I would look at it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, my next quote-unquote wacky person.
Okay.
I use the term very lightly. I understand that people have their problems, have their issues. You don't know what's going on the other side of the door when you're not there. I have a little bit of sympathy for them, but when the crazy stuff still happens, you have to kind of like wonder what caused it or whatever, you know?
Right, right.
So my neighbor Roy, he's the neighborhood plumber, if you will. Asked me to work on his girlfriend's computer, and he would fix a bathroom sink for me. I said, "Okay, good barter."
Yes.
Well, first of all, it was a hardware wireless issue. The Wi-Fi card in her Dell netbook failed, and it also needed a Windows reinstall because she said that she would use, before it would fail, it was just doing all kinds of crazy stuff. I go, "What do you mean by crazy stuff?" I found out it was slow, it had McAfee on it, all kinds of issues. So I said, "Okay, let's do a nuke and pave, okay?" And I did that. I installed all the drivers. The Wi-Fi still didn't work. That was my confirmation that it was the Wi-Fi card in the first place. Second confirmation was I had a USB Wi-Fi stick. I plugged that in, loaded a driver, and it worked. So,
right.
The issue was she wanted it back right away. She's a Facebook fanatic.
Mm-hmm.
She spends all her time on there. Her boyfriend was telling me, and it's like he never gets to see her when that computer's in the house, basically. So I took it to her house. I got a weak signal from their Wi-Fi network. Only it was not their Wi-Fi network. She was a Facebook fan who was stealing from a neighbor's router.
Okay.
So I had to inform her that is basically stealing, and she could end up in a whole lot of trouble.
Right.
And that she needs to get her own internet. Well, we don't have money for that, she says as she's puffing on her cigarette. Nothing against people who smoke cigarettes. But whenever I hear that and I see them smoking a cigarette, I get to thinking, well, you have money for a cigarette. Can't you come up with a couple bucks for your internet service, which starts at basically $9.95 or $14.95, depending on your local ISP service?
Right.
So a couple of months went by, and she calls me up again, and she says she still can't get a good Wi-Fi signal. So I can hear you. So I stopped by again and to see what was going on. And I noticed something going on in the back of the house. Now, call me crazy, if you will, or call me just overthinking the situation. But she was in a regular outfit type, you know, blouse and everything. And she comes out in a totally summertime tank shirt. With the sides cut off and everything, and what she was trying to do, me and my wife took one quick look at each other. She was basically giving me a side view of her boobs.
Right.
Okay. And this is happening.
Was she hot? I know you're married. You don't have to answer that. Go ahead.
No, I'm allowed to look, just not touch. She wasn't much to look at. She may have been 10, 15 years ago, but she is a heroin addict and having some issues with that.
Her How do you know that?
Her boyfriend told me when we go get the parts for the sink.
Uh-huh.
So I says, man, did I treat your girlfriend wrong in some certain way? You know, as I tell him all this, he says, Kevin, no, don't worry about it. She's a heroin addict. She doesn't know what she's doing half the time.
Wow.
So, but this all happened in front of her boyfriend, my wife, and me. So my wife and I just looked at each other again. We do that a lot in a lot of cases. But, anyways, back to the Wi-Fi issue. I said the only recourse is to order the replacement. The reason why I did not install the original Wi-Fi card before, it was because she was happy at the time with the USB stick, because I was showing her the way how I confirmed it was her Wi-Fi card. And she said, well, can I have that? So I said, yeah, I'll sell it to you for the amount I sold it for. I think it was $30-$35. And she says, okay. And then, of course, like I said earlier, she came back and it wasn't working right. So we ordered the original Wi-Fi card from eBay, and came and it ran fine. But I had to warn her what she was doing was illegal. All I wanted to do, Steve, was just to get the heck out of there.
I understand.
Yeah. So we're going on 8 o'clock here. You want to keep on going an hour here? You want to keep on going here or?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. All right. So I got a call from a Dell XPS owner. And he had a separation anxiety with his unit. So I get this phone call saying that this, I guess something typed in here wrong. His computer was running slow. He could not connect to the internet all the whole time. He wanted me to come out and see what I could do with it. So I grabbed my USB stick holder and went out to his house. The computer was so infected, Steve, that it was not cooperating whatsoever. It would not let me go into safe mode. It would not accept my USB drives. Nothing would work.
Okay.
So I told him, I says, I'm going to have to take it back to my shop and put the hard drive into my bench machine, disinfect the viruses and blah, 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 and do the data backup and then do a reinstall. Well, how long would that take, Kevin? I said, virus scan can run a couple hours depending on how much information you have in there. Windows 7 reinstall can take about an hour, maybe just a little bit more. Steve, this guy wanted to come to my shop, which is my home, and wait around while I do the work. Now, we're talking anywhere from maybe 3 to 4 for the virus scans, and of course another hour to do the data backup if necessary, and another hour to reinstall Windows. So we're talking almost 8 hours of work here.
Well, I mean, and that means that you are going to start on it the moment you get home. Is that what he expected?
Exactly. This was a Saturday afternoon. I told him, I said, I could have it back Monday.
Right.
Okay. So, I go, sir, I don't let customers in my home. He goes, that's okay. I'll wait out in my car until you get it done. So, this is 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We're talking anywhere between when I got done, if I were to get done that night, it would have been 10, 11 o'clock that night. He'd still be waiting out in my car, right, along with all the kids running around, all the people walking their dogs, whatever, watching him. And I have a stranger sitting out in front of my house. So he goes, well, what about remote support? I know a guy that does that. Well, I can see at this point that he's sort of resigned, going back to the guy who does the remote support. I offered him my remote support, but my experience so far was this guy was going to miss his baby and would be calling me all the time and say, how's it going, even though he could see the action going on the screen if I were to do it. He's just going to be a major pain in the butt. Right. He'd probably
take control of the mouse a couple times, too. He's probably one of those guys.
Yep. Okay. Yep. Exactly. Okay.
Good. No, I just want to say, good call on that. I like when you go with your gut feeling on these customers, and you don't, you know, make enemies with them. You just don't do business with them. I think it's a good thing. If somebody's going to be more trouble than they're worth, then just don't bother with them, but don't, you know, make an enemy out of them.
It's one of the things I learned from my dad. He was intuitive about customers like that, who to keep on, who to get the contract out for, blah, 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 and who not to.
Sure.
Yeah. You know. I had a flaky. You ever worked with Silex wire printers or software?
No, I haven't.
This thing. All right, it was a doctor, and I told my wife, I says, "Let's go in our Sunday clothes." She goes, "Why?" I go, "This guy said he worked for the Cleveland Clinic, which is a very highly respected hospital up 30 miles north of me." Mm-hmm. And I says, I just have a feeling that this house is not going to be your normal house. So she dressed up in her dress. I dressed up in a tie and shirt. And it's a good thing we did, because this house looked like it could have been anywhere from 800,000 to almost a million or maybe more.
Really?
Yes. And he even had an apartment up in Cleveland there where he worked.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's like to him, 30 miles is going to be a big deal to drive back and forth to home every day. But anyways, he had a Windows 7 laptop, home premium, and he had a Windows XP Pro machine there, and I believe it was a HP or Lexmark. It was it was one of those office style printers, and he wanted the Windows 7. I forget what brand it was. I think it was a Dell. To work with the printer wirelessly, which it could.
Okay.
And he also wanted me to hook up with the XP Pro to work from his office with the documents that was in his XP Pro.
Okay.
So the first thing I had to do was I had to run CCleaner and Glare Utilities on the XP Pro, because the screensaver, he told me, just went black and it was supposed to be showing his pictures. So I was able to get that back up and running in good condition without having to do a reinstall, which I was grateful for, because I had a feeling he would want me to be there to do that as well, which I didn't mind, because I was going to have to tell him, well, I'm going to have to start charging you hourly instead of my flat rate fee.
Sure.
But anyways, the Silex software loaded just fine on the Windows XP and Windows Home. When it came to the, and it worked fine with the wireless printer. When it came to the XP Pro, nothing I ever did made a difference. I went through all the steps that somebody who knows networking should do. I can't remember right now. This is way back in February. He even knew a little bit about it, and we were working together on it, and we were going through the instructions, making sure we were doing the instructions right, because he had a PDF pulled up for it. Nothing we did worked. And I was beginning to tell him, I go, doctor, this guy was a doctor, by the way. Mm-hmm. I mentioned that. Okay. I go, doctor, this thing sounds like it's a bad piece of hardware. He goes, what, the computer? I go, no, the printer server. And he goes, oh, okay. So we did a couple more things, and the Windows XP Pro just did not want to work with it. So he goes, he starts getting all upset, and I'm like, okay. But he goes, I'm going to go with a Mac. I got him up in my apartment up in Cleveland. I should have known better. He goes, Kevin, it's not your fault. I'm just ticked off with Windows. I've had it with Windows. So as far as I know, he got a Mac for his setup there. And I says, you know, I can back up your data, and if you want, and you can figure. I says, I don't particularly work with Macs, but if you're willing to put up with me, I'm sure I could figure it out, you know. And he goes, no, I know Macs pretty well. I could do it myself. So he didn't pay me for the full job. He paid me for working on his XP Pro. I tried to tell him that it was not necessary getting the whole job done, but it was necessary that you hired me to do a job, right. And we both agreed that it could not be done. But you know how it is, listening to other techs about how they talk about doctors being hard to pay and so forth, and so I just made another judgment call and just took whatever he gave me. So
damn,
yeah, it wasn't a waste of gas, at least. I mean, it paid for the gas in the car, but
damn,
I know. What am I going to do? Am I going to argue in front of his housekeeper and in front of his brother there?
Right.
You know,
I would just like also to say that these are the odd stories you're bringing. This is not your normal customer experience.
No.
I don't want anybody to think that.
No.
Okay.
Well, you know, I tell these stories in TeamSpeak, and they're all getting a big kick out of it, and they're all agreeing with the same way you are about how I should deal with it, and they're all saying that I handle these situations pretty well.
Good.
So, I got time for one more?
Yes.
Okay. The son who wanted the computer fixed, but the mother was a pain in the boop.
I see this. This one looks pretty interesting.
Okay.
And I like the titles you have for your stories.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Okay, so I get this call from a guy who said he needed his laptop fixed because the famous Windows 7 2011 You Got a Virus window came up. I said, yes, it was a virus, and he agreed to let me come by and pick up the computer. He appeared to be a young guy, met me at his circular driveway, pull-around driveway, and he had the laptop bag in hand. We went over the contract agreement that I have from Technible, and he signed it, and I said I'd be back as soon as it was done. Now, a couple hours later, I get home, and I was starting to run Kaspersky on it. About halfway through the Kaspersky run, I get this panic call from a lady who says it was this guy's mother. I'm like, mother? Okay, this guy, he looked old enough to at least own the house.
Really?
Yeah, he looked that mature. I go to my wife, I go, did you get the impression this was a kid? And she says, no, I just thought he was a young owner of a house. Right. Or, you know. So she says, why do you have my computer? She's almost in tears. I'm trying to calm her down. I says,
she says, why do you have your computer, really?
Yeah. I says, well, someone in your house hired me to do a virus cleanup on it. She said, a little bit calmer, she says, well, yeah, that was my son. But I can't believe he just gave my computer to a stranger off the street. I told her that basically I wasn't a stranger, that I have a signed contract with her son, and I was performing a cleanup now. Well, do you have a shop? Well, I said, I have no shop. My shop was based in my living room at my home, and she wanted to come over at 9 p.m. at night, by the way. And then she says, well, I still want to come over and see it. I said that I am not, again, I have to say, I'm not, again, allowing customers into my private home.
Right.
She then gets all angry at me and says, well, how do I know I can trust you? So I go into my little spiel that I give every customer that I have 19 years of experience, and I know that hers has a virus on it, and that I was performing the cleanup right now. I said that twice to her, actually. Well, I just can't believe my son just gave my computer to someone he doesn't know. So I wanted to clean up this mess right away, not the virus, just this mess.
Right.
I said, ma'am, what do you want me to do? She thought about it, and she said, well, can I see a driver's license? I said, I'm not in the habit of giving out my personal driver's license to anybody who's going to ask for it unless they're wearing a badge. I then thought, well, this is just getting worse and worse, and a little headache, as I pointed to the back of my head, is coming back again. I go, ma'am, how about if I come over, you can see your computer, and then we can go from there. She said, okay, I can live with that, at 9 o'clock at night.
She can live with that? That was a treat.
Yeah. Yeah. So I shut down Kaspersky, rebooted the computer to see if it would still start properly. It still had the virus in it. I said to myself, this could be just another real headache. I could think of all kinds of scenarios coming from this.
Right, right.
I come up with her, show her my car, and I'll let her take my plates down. I've had to do that before. She could even call the police saying I have her computer illegally, even though she has a signed contract between her son and myself. It was just not looking good, Steve.
All right.
So, I get there, I knock on her door, and she comes to the door. She says, okay, good. Now, here's what I want from you. I said, please, put up my hand, stop, for those of you on audio. And I handed her the laptop bag, kindly. I said, ma'am, have a nice day. Here's your computer. And she said, thank you, and walked back to my car, and I just drove off and never looked back.
Oh, man. These are good stories, man.
Yeah, well, you know, I get the weird ones. It's probably for what I get for advertising on Craigslist, but...
No, I don't think you get the weird ones. I think we all get these. You know, there's a lot of customers I wish I would have done that to. No, I think this is par for the course, man.
Yep, it is. It is. If I can have just a little bit of a nuts at night moment here.
Yes.
Okay, did you get that link?
Yeah, about old car manual project.
Yeah, go ahead and pull it up for your video people there.
Okay.
My screen name is Reliant, as many of you know. Terry, I think, actually was the one that found this. He's your video guru, as you call him, on Nuts and Night. And we found this car. And
there it is. This
can
is
you imagine? This is a real. That's a real car.
It is.
That, yep.
The Reliant Robin. You can't beat it for all round economy. It does not even say all around. No way. That's not a real car.
It is.
They next sell link. That like currently, or they no, they did.
Next link is a YouTube video, which I don't know if you want to play a little bit of it or I just put it in the show notes, but it is from I believe it's from Top Gear. The UK, and a guy rides around in it, and it's a hilarious video. Worth all 7 minutes if you ever, guys ever want to see it. Just look up Reliant Robin on YouTube and use the search term Top Gear. It should be one of the first choices.
Reliant Robin. Let me see if we can play a little bit of it. I don't know if I'll do all 7 minutes, but I got to check this thing out.
I got to go through the commercial.
Of course. Oh, I love commercials. Oh, it's a commercial for something exactly what I wanted to buy. A Nissan Versa sedan. Okay, here we go with the movie.
So here's this thing driving down the street. And for 29 of those years, it's been a
complete joke. Now, though, we're going to see... That is so weird looking, because it only has one front tire. Oh, man.
It's light, it's cheap, and it tapers to a point, like a rocket. So we're already heading in the right direction.
But we're not just going to strap rockets to it, set it off, and wave it goodbye. Because we're going to see if we can turn it into the most difficult of all spacecraft. The one that has to take off and be used again. a space shuttle.
They're gonna what?
Right, gentlemen, what we want from you is the most difficult type of space rocket.
At least let it pay through to the first flip over.
Space shuttle.
This has to
work properly. It has to have the big fuel tank. It has to have the booster rockets. They all have to separate. And most importantly, we have to be able to bring it back down under control to a landing.
And it's worth saying as well that nobody's going to go in this.
Yeah.
But it has to be landed.
Yeah. The idea of this is that we will send it up to a few thousand feet. What we're doing is testing the principle. If you can make all this work and we can bring it into this controlled landing, we will probably get funding from the EU for a proper space mission.
To launch it, jettison the SRBs.
Jettison the SRBs.
Jettison the orbiter. And fly it down.
What's the orbiter?
The Reliant.
Right.
There you go.
You got a spare $1 billion.
No, you see, that's why we've come to you. Because you're from Manchester and you'll be able to do it for 10 and 6.
And there'll be as much tea as you can drink while you're doing it.
Chips and lard, everything. Anything you want.
It is difficult in every single way.
Right.
Is this what you were talking about, or the flip over, what they just did?
So it's really I wish I had the timestamp on that. I don't.
What we're going to need.
That's all right. You guys got to check it out. The YouTube video is Top Gear Reliant Robin Space Shuttle. I get the joke. It looks like the space shuttle. So they're just totally playing on that. That's awesome, man. I gotta watch the end of that.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Those English guys, I gotta tell you, they're funny. All right. Anything else?
Well, just that you can find. This is the ending. I'm assuming.
Oh no, let's do some emails.
Okay. Yeah, emails. Okay.
We're gonna do Podnuts Pro. We got about 12 minutes, and those guys can complain about like they did last time, if they do have to wait.
Sorry, Matt. Sorry, Lalo.
No, I'm just kidding. I did an extra long post. I actually did. I had an extra long post show last time, like 15 minutes into their show. We were talking about like dance music. And then I get a text from Lalo. Great post show, man. All right. Let's do some Podnuts Daily emails here. I think we got a couple. Oh, my gosh. We do not. If you want to email this show, send an email to mail@podnuts.com. We need emails for Podnuts Daily. Guys, bring it on. If you want to call the show, call 7076-PODNUT on a phone. Let's get some input from you guys. Tell us some things that you're running into. I want some more crazy stories like Reliant gave us and how you handled them. They might be good. Kevin, I guess we are ending the show. So tell us any remaining comments and where people could find you and anything else you would like to say.
I am on Twitter at 108RReliant. I don't post as much as I should, but I'm going to get back into the habit of that. I try to post an interesting story that I saw or whatever. I'm also on Facebook. My picture is associated with my name because there's several Kevin Adairs. Mine is with the chin cut off and a close-up of my head without the forehead a little bit there, so you know which one I am. I'm also on Google+. I'm very careful about who I accept into my circle, so if you are somebody who wanted to be in my circle, please send a message saying I saw you on Podnuts or something like that. That way I can automatically add you in. I don't just let anybody in my circles.
Yes, and make sure that if you're a youngster, you tell your mom that you're going to join Kevin's circle before you do, so he doesn't get a phone call from your mother. Oh, man. Good stuff.
Thank you.
Like I said before, great site. I really like the WordPress. I think we're going to go that way. So if you keep me posted on your results, I'll also help you with some AdWords and whatever help you need because you did buy the tech site builder. So.
And once again, because I only promised to make sure I do this, kudos to Britech and kudos to Leaf Glass for both of you guys and everybody else. I cannot name every single one of them in the TeamSpeak room. Everybody's been a real great help to me in making sure that I'm on the right path as to whether it be fixing a computer or getting my website going. You guys are superb, and I thank you.
Well, I'm sure they appreciate it, and that's, again, another plug for the TeamSpeak room. If you guys want, I mean, these are technicians that are just willing to help, and you could get instant access to. So I would take advantage of that if I were you guys in the Podnuts TeamSpeak. All right, well, that's going to be it for Podnut Silly for this week. I appreciate you guys watching, live, downloading, streaming, Rokuing, and we will see you next time. Music for Podnuts Daily provided by Evan King at purevolume.com/EvanKing.